Beethoven. Powerful, emotional, forceful, loud. Words like these were used by the people who heard Beethoven's music for the first time. Today we listen to it and wonder, what was all the fuss about? This music doesn't sound so loud or forceful, but we are used to things like hard rock, heavy metal, and loud stereos. 200 years ago, the people were used to the classical restraint and elegance of a Haydn and Mozart. The people of Vienna were even having trouble at that time understanding Mozart's later works. Where Mozart gently tapped his audience for attention, Beethoven planted bombs under their seats. He was first known as a pianist, and as a pianist, he played so loudly and with such force that he would literally break the piano. Of course, the pianos he had to play on were not nearly as strong as they are today. The strong pianos we have today, we can thank Beethoven for. After breaking so many, he complained and begged piano manufacturers to give him a stronger piano. And they did. Why was his music so forceful? Because he was a forceful, impassioned man himself. Let me give you an example. At a concert in Vienna, Austria, Beethoven was playing his new piano concerto. The house was packed with people. Not only was he playing the piano, but he was conducting the orchestra. Now, there were no electric lights at that time, so candles were placed on the piano, one on each side of the music rack. Each instrumentalist would also have a candle or light on his music stand. A forzando is a musical punch or a big accent. The music all of a sudden becomes very loud, a musical punch. Beethoven was known for his athletic style of conducting. And as he was conducting the orchestra from his piano and came to the first sforzando, or musical punch, of the piece, he threw his arms out so wide that he knocked off both lights from the piano onto the ground. The audience broke out into laughter, and Beethoven was so angry at the occurrence that he made the orchestra start again from the beginning. Just to make sure that nothing like that should happen again, someone sent two boys from the choir to hold the lights next to Beethoven to avoid another incident. As the music progressed, the boy on the right became absorbed in Beethoven's music and was reading it along with him. He got closer and closer and closer. When the sforzando came again, Beethoven threw his arms out like a madman. The boy on the left could see it coming and quickly ducked, but the boy on the right, pow, was hit so hard across the face that he dropped the light in terror. The audience roared with laughter. Beethoven was more than just mad. He was so enraged that when his turn came to play the piano, he broke six strings on the piano with his first powerful chord. How do you think the audience reacted to that? Poor Beethoven. I guess bad days happen to all of us. Listen to this next piece. It's just a short excerpt from his famous Pathetique Sonata. See if you can sense the force, the energy, the emotion of this man's spirit that we have just learned about. On December 17th, 1770, Mozart was 14 years old, Haydn was 43 years old, and Ludwig von Beethoven had just been born. That was December 17th, 1770. He was born to Johann and Maria von Beethoven, and they named their son Ludwig after his grandfather, who was the court musician at the local prince's palace. Johann was also a musician in the court. Since music was so important to the Beethovens, Johann began to give Beethoven music lessons when he was 4 or 5 years old. About 14 years earlier, young Wolfgang Mozart had astonished Europe with his musical ability, bringing the Mozart family great fame. When Johann realized that his son was extremely gifted, he saw an opportunity to also gain fame and fortune. He decided that his son would be even greater than Wolfgang Mozart had been. However, Johann was only interested in gaining fame and fortune for himself through his son. He didn't really care about helping his son develop his talent. Because he only wanted to show off his son, Johann often treated Beethoven cruelly in order to make Beethoven work harder. Many of Beethoven's neighbors and friends remembered seeing little Ludwig crying on the piano bench. Beethoven was beaten whenever he didn't practice, or when he made mistakes. He was even locked in the cellar occasionally as punishment. After several years, Beethoven had progressed far enough that Johann could no longer teach him. So a new teacher was found. The new teacher only added to Beethoven's problems, for the teacher was Johann's drinking partner. One night, Beethoven was in bed, sound asleep. Suddenly, he was grabbed out of bed and roughly shaken. "Wake up," he heard his father yell. "It's time for your piano lesson." Beethoven awoke, quickly realizing that both his father and new teacher were drunk. He stumbled down the stairs to the piano, where he sat all night, quietly crying, as his drunk teacher tried to give him a piano lesson. Unfortunately, this was not the last all-night lesson that Beethoven had to suffer through. Although Johann wanted Beethoven to progress rapidly, there was one area he refused to let Beethoven study. Beethoven loved to improvise and compose. He loved to make up his own melodies and harmonies. But when Johann found Beethoven playing without any notes, he became furious. He threatened to box Beethoven's ears if he ever caught Beethoven playing without notes again. Johann should have been glad to hear Beethoven's improvisations, for improvisation was one of the greatest marks of a good musician in those days. Instead, he was angry with Beethoven for doing something that was not assigned. You would think that Beethoven would grow to hate music after the experiences with his father, but he didn't. Music soon became the center of Beethoven's life. School did not seem important. All he could think about was music, music, music. Every day after school, Beethoven raced home to the piano. There he would practice for hours, often until well past midnight. Although Beethoven was not as famous as Mozart had been as a child, his hours of practicing did pay off. For soon, Beethoven would be known as a great pianist. When Beethoven was about 10 or 11, he began his composition lessons with a new teacher. His new teacher immediately saw that Beethoven was extremely talented. He taught Beethoven how to be a court organist. He even left Beethoven in charge of the court music when Beethoven was only 11 years old. With the money that Beethoven received from that court appointment, he was able to help his family monetarily. At the age of 14, Beethoven had been made deputy court organist. Beethoven thrived under his new, much kinder teacher. During this time, Beethoven wrote his first composition. Little did his teacher know that his beginning composition student would become one of the greatest composers ever. In 1787, when Beethoven was 17 years old, Beethoven traveled to Vienna to give concerts. He also hoped to play for Mozart and perhaps even take a few lessons from him. One day, he went to the Mozart's home, and there he did play for Mozart. Mozart said, "Keep an eye on him. This boy is going to go places." But unfortunately,
Mozart had just lost his father and was grieving, and Beethoven was concerned about his mother, who was soon to die. And so neither of them were able to hit it off very well and come out of themselves enough to help one another. Beethoven had only been in Vienna about 2 weeks when he had received the sad news from Bonn that his mother was very ill. Before Beethoven reached home, his mother was dead. Beethoven wanted to be in Vienna, but now his two younger brothers needed someone to care for them. Beethoven's father couldn't. He had become an alcoholic and couldn't care for the family. During his childhood, Beethoven had sacrificed everything because of his love for music. But when Beethoven returned to Bonn, he sacrificed his dreams to care for his family. Because he went back to Bonn, Beethoven never did get a chance to study with Mozart. But later in his life, Beethoven told a friend, "Since I was a child, my greatest happiness and pleasure have been to be able to do something for others." Beethoven's desire to help his family was strong enough that he was willing to sacrifice his career in Vienna for a while. In order to take care of his family, Beethoven joined the court orchestra to earn a living. He had many friends among the other musicians of the orchestra. Beethoven was also making enough from the orchestra and teaching lessons for the Beethovens to have what they needed. Yet in Bonn, Beethoven's patrons, or the people who paid Beethoven to compose music for them, did not like some of Beethoven's new ideas. "We want music like they played in the old days," they would say. Does that sound familiar? "Your music is too wild for us," they complained. Beethoven found that he could not compose like he wanted to if he wanted to make any money as well. About this time, the famous composer Franz Haydn was passing through Bonn. Once again, Beethoven's dreams of composition lessons from a great composer were awakened. One day at the court where Beethoven was working, Beethoven hopefully handed one of his pieces to Haydn. Anxiously, he watched as Haydn's eyes scanned the pages. "I wonder what he thinks of my piece," Beethoven must have wondered. But the anxiety left when Haydn looked up and smiled. "If you will come to Vienna, I will teach you." So, in 1792, Beethoven again set out for Vienna. Seven weeks after Beethoven left for Vienna, he received word that his father had died. But this time, Beethoven did not return to Bonn, for his brothers were old enough to take care of themselves. It was time for Beethoven to begin his career in Vienna. Beethoven eagerly began his composition lessons with Haydn, but after several months, he became a little frustrated. He had some arguments with Haydn. Beethoven was not easy to work with. Beethoven did not feel like Haydn was teaching him very much at all, so Beethoven secretly began to visit a man named Johann Schenk for lessons on counterpoint. Schenk corrected Beethoven's counterpoint exercises. Then Beethoven recopied his assignments and gave them to Haydn. Haydn would never have discovered Beethoven's secret, except Beethoven got into an argument with a friend who knew of Beethoven's secret lessons. This friend was so angry that he went straight to Haydn and told the great composer of Beethoven's other lessons. Needless to say, Haydn was not happy, and they stopped seeing each other. But Beethoven had learned some very valuable principles of composition from Haydn, even though he might have thought he didn't, and much of his music shows the influence of Haydn. As a matter of fact, the first three sonatas that Beethoven composed were dedicated to Haydn. Here is a section of one. Thank you. Kind of exciting, isn't it? But you know, people didn't want to hear his compositions in Vienna. They wanted to hear him play the piano. They were dazzled by his incredibly fast fingers, as you heard on that last piece. And they were even more amazed by his strength. Many pianos did not survive Beethoven's performances, as we had mentioned before. Beethoven loved to be the best. Since there were so many other great pianists in Vienna, many contests were held to decide who the best pianist was. These contests showed who could play the fastest, the loudest, and the softest. But the most important part of the contests were always the improvisation. That's right, the improvisation. Do you remember who didn't want him to improvise? His father. And now it came in handy. Now Beethoven was able to improvise to his heart's content. Some of the pianists may have been able to play as fast as Beethoven. Some may have been able to play as loud or even as soft, but none was able to improvise like Beethoven did. Beethoven also gave concerts in other cities. In 1796, after a performance for King Frederick Wilhelm II, the king gave Beethoven a gold snuffbox for his impressive performance. Soon, Beethoven's compositions began to sell. Many wealthy patrons presented Beethoven with gifts, and in 1800, one of Beethoven's best friends, Prince Lichnowsky, promised Beethoven 600 florins every year. To meet his many demands, Beethoven rose early and then followed a schedule. Every place that Beethoven went, he carried his music sketchbook so he could write down a musical idea every time one came. He said, "I even get up in the middle of the night when a thought comes, because otherwise I might forget it," he told his friend. Beethoven did not want to waste a single musical idea. It's hard to believe that this same Vienna that supported Beethoven so well let Mozart starve and die. Perhaps they were feeling a little guilty that they let such a great talent slip through their fingers. For the very year that Mozart died, Beethoven came on the scene. During this time, Beethoven also strove to be not only the best composer he could be, he also strove to be the best person he could be. Beethoven loved honesty. He always kept his word and expected those around him to tell the truth as well. Beethoven's friend, Himmel, knew of Beethoven's expectations, so Himmel decided to play a trick. He wrote a letter to Beethoven, slyly telling him that someone had invented a lamp for the blind. When Beethoven read the letter, he did not even think twice. He was so excited about this wonderful invention that the blind could see by that he quickly spread the news to all of his friends. He was pretty embarrassed when one of his friends pointed out that a lamp would do a blind person no good since a blind person could not see. But Beethoven did not lose his love for truth, and he strove to find truth through his music. In 1800, Beethoven gave a concert. His first symphony and a piano concerto were part of the program. Beethoven was now admired in Vienna for both his performing and composing abilities. He was really making a name for himself, not only as a pianist, but as a composer. He said at this time that he was not only able to sell his compositions, but they were in demand, and that he could set his own price as to how much he was going to sell them for. It was about this time that Beethoven had some health problems, and he had a hard time hearing some sounds. He was also plagued with a humming or buzzing noise in his ears quite often. Just a little later, his student, Ferdinand, came to visit Beethoven while he was on a vacation in Heiligenstadt. One beautiful spring day, Beethoven and Ferdinand sat outside talking. Suddenly, Ferdinand heard a sweet little melody dancing through the air. He looked around and saw a shepherd piping on his little wooden flute made from a twig. "Look," Ferdinand pointed to Beethoven. When Beethoven saw the shepherd, he smiled. "He must be playing a charming melody," he said. Ferdinand looked at Beethoven surprised, because he could hear the melody. What was he meaning when he said he must be playing a charming melody? Could it be that Beethoven couldn't hear, Ferdinand thought. So when Beethoven asked him, sensing Ferdinand's amazement, several times if he could hear the shepherd's piping, Ferdinand answered, "Oh, no, no, I can't hear it," for he did not want to discourage his wonderful teacher. What could possibly be worse for a musician than to lose his hearing? But Beethoven was going deaf, and he knew it. And he knew that other people were beginning to notice as well. He wrote a letter during this very depressing time of his life. It is called the Heiligenstadt Testament. Beethoven had become so discouraged, he even thought of committing suicide. But he did not. Buried deep in Beethoven's heart was the hope that music and serving others had brought him. So Beethoven decided that he would find solace through composing, even though he stopped performing. From that point on, he began to fight for his health. He said, "I am resolved to rise superior to every obstacle. With whom need I be afraid of measuring my strength? If possible, I will bid defiance to my fate, although there will be moments in life when I will be unhappiest of all of God's creatures. I will take fate by the throat. It shall not overcome me. Oh, how beautiful it is to be alive. Would that I could live 1,000 times. And with that firm attitude to meet life on its own terms and to best it, even through difficult circumstances, Beethoven arose to find much success and happiness through composing. Deafness was not the only discouragement Beethoven had. Beethoven longed for a wife and children. Time after time, he fell in love, only to be refused or to have his beloved marry someone else. What luck, huh? His desire to find a wife was never fulfilled, but he wrote some beautiful music to the women who rejected him. One of these pieces is a favorite of pianists and audiences. It is his sonata in C sharp minor, sometimes called the Moonlight Sonata. Listen to a portion of this work and see if you can sense how Beethoven may have felt about his being rejected by another girlfriend. In the 56 years of his life, Beethoven composed music that became the culmination of the classic period. He did not allow deafness to stop him. He had a desire to serve people and a desire to compose music. Millions of people have been enriched by Beethoven's service to all humankind. For the last few months of Beethoven's life, he lay in bed, unable to work on the music he loved. One day, two young singers came to visit him. Beethoven asked the singers to sing him a song. They began, but one of the singers could not make any notes come out. Perhaps they were too nervous. When they stopped, Beethoven asked, "What's wrong?" Someone explained that the singer couldn't make the notes come out. "Oh," he said, "go ahead and sing. I can't hear anything anyway. I only want to see you sing." On March 26, a black thunderstorm spread over Vienna. The year was 1827. Beethoven was still in bed, very sick. A clap of thunder shook the room. Beethoven sat up, shook his fist at the sky, and then fell back. dead. Now we're ready for the quiz. If you need more time after I ask the question, then stop the tape for a moment. There are 9 questions. Number 1, what year was Beethoven born? Number 2, what country was Beethoven born in? Number 3, when Beethoven was a young man, what famous city did he move to and live at for the rest of his life? Number 4, what year did Beethoven die? Number 5, to what musical time period did Beethoven belong? The Baroque, Classic, Romantic, or 20th century? Number 6, what event in Beethoven's life caused him to stop giving piano concerts and devote himself to composing? Number 7, from the stories you heard on this tape, which one did you like the best? Number 8, did Beethoven ever marry? Number 9, what can you learn from Beethoven's life that can help you in yours? That is the end of the quiz. If you got them all correct, you're ready to go on to the next side. If not, you may want to review this tape again. On this side of the tape, we have studied Beethoven's life. On the next side, we will study his music. I would encourage you to go to the library and check out some books on Beethoven and study his life a little bit more. Also, you may want to go to the library or the music store and buy some records or check out some records and listen to his music. You may also want to ask your teacher to study some of the pieces that you've heard on this tape. Let's end this side of the tape the same way we began it, by listening to the third movement of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, just the first section of it.